We're on page 2 of lesson 1, Love and Forgiveness. Love and Forgiveness. Last time we left off at number 1, let's see what we're talking about. We're talking about agape love is used in the New Testament to reference God's love for mankind. And then we said we should also note that God's agape love for us isn't given to us because we're worthy of it. Rather, it's his love that makes us worthy by the strength and the power of agape love. And we looked at John 15:16. All right, so what did we say agape love was? Okay, but what type of love? Give me the characteristics of agape love.
Unconditional.
Okay.
Sacrificial.
Yeah.
Self-giving.
Starts with I and ends with E.
Well, it's right here.
Intimate.
Don't say intimate
in our show. Well, agape love is an intimate love, is it not? Is that right, Wink? Intimate.
Yeah.
So as an intimate love, okay. God has that, and he has that for us. We look at 2 Corinthians 5:21. Let's just kick off there. Second Corinthians 5:21.
There it is.
So,
2 Corinthians 5:21. For our sake he made him sin, who knew no sin, so that in him we might become the righteousness of God.
Okay, so what is that saying? Who knows what that's saying? What that means, what she just said.
Positionally.
Okay, positionally. But what does it mean when he said he made him... who knew no sin to be sin in our behalf, so that we might become the righteousness of God. And that means certainly not now, right? Is anybody the righteousness of God right now?
No.
I doubt it. No, we're not, right?
So we're become.
We're going to become that. In other words, it's been ordained that you would become the righteousness of God through Jesus Christ. All right, let's go to 1 Peter 2:24. Pam.
Peter.
Yeah, maybe go 23:24.
23:24?
Yeah.
Okay. 1 Peter 2:23:24. For when he was reviled, did not revile in return. When he suffered, he did not threaten, but committed himself to him who judges righteously, to himself for our sins and his own body on the tree, that we, having died to sins, might live for righteousness, by whose stripes we were healed.
Okay. So we're seeing here again how Christ is our righteousness. We are not righteous at all. It's only being in him that makes us righteous. And what does it mean to be in Christ? What does it mean to be in Christ? No hands?
To me, I think having all the fullness of the Godhead.
To have a what?
All the fullness of the Godhead. All the attributes of Christ. When you're in Christ, you have that ability to...
Okay. Okay. That's part of it. What were you going to say?
Like in his family, in his...
Okay. It means that you've been called... you've been called by Christ into Christ, right? Everybody understand that?
Yeah.
Being in Christ means that you are in him and he is in you. And if you're in Christ, who else are you in? Who else are you in with?
God.
The Godhead, the Father and the Holy Spirit, right?
Yeah.
Where do we see that?
In my Bible.
In your Bible? That was a good answer.
Yep, there it is.
Here's one you got. Everybody should have magic markers. What you should do is mark this one. Go to John 17. And I got to look, I think it's 17:21. All right. What is it? Someone got John 17:23? See, either 21 or 23. Do you have that, Pam?
Yeah.
Yes, 23.
23. Go ahead and read it. Read 21. Read 21 to 23.
21 to 23. Okay.
I got it right.
21 to 23.
Oh yeah, that's right.
Go ahead.
That they may all be one, as you, Father, are in me, and I in you. That they also may be one in us, that the world may believe that you sent me, and the glory which you gave me I have given them, that they may be one, just as we are one. I in them, and you in me, that they may be made perfect and one, and that the world may know that you have sent me, and have loved them as you have loved me.
Everybody understand that?
That's for us too. Verse 20 it says, pray for them there that they were present. Then
yeah.
Says, I do not ask for these only, but for also those who will believe in Christ.
Yeah, that's us. He was praying for the disciples, but then he added to the prayer all his disciples. Because are we all disciples of Christ?
Yes.
Are we all children of Abraham's seed? Right? We all are, right? So in Christ, we have not just Christ, but we have the entire Godhead. Let's look at 1 John, just down the road where we are, 4:10. 1 John, 4:10. Linda.
1 John 4:10.
Yes.
In this is love, not that we loved God, but that He loved us and sent His Son to be the
propitiation
for our sins. Thank you.
What does propitiation mean?
Offering.
Okay. What else?
Our substitute.
Yes. In other words, He was the one that took the penalty of the law out of the way. He did that, right?
Yeah.
So does that mean we're not under the law anymore? We are under the law. Those Ten Commandments still matter. You still have to obey them. What's been taken out is the penalty of them. In other words, if you were a Jew back in the Old Testament, what you would do is if you broke any of the commandments, you had to offer a blood sacrifice for your sin, and they were just covered over. When Jesus Christ came and He died, He paid the sin debt, past, present, and future, for all of God's elect people. And in doing that, okay, He freed you from the penalty of the law. That's really what it is. But you still have the responsibility to be obedient to the law in actions. They're still there. And what is not just the Ten Commandments, but all of the scriptures, right? Mm-hmm. And all the scriptures give us different things that we should do, right? Mm-hmm. Okay. 1 John 4:19. 4:19 is 18, 19. Go ahead and read that, Judy.
4:19. We loved because He first loved us.
Yeah, we read that before, but when it says that we love because He first loved us, what does that mean to you?
That means we really wouldn't have loved Him.
That's right. Exactly. Yeah. That means that we had no love for God until He put His love inside of us. That was the only way, right?
Yeah.
So, and how did He put His love inside of us, and how do we know it's there?
The Holy Spirit.
Okay, I'm looking for something a little more precise, but you're right.
He quickened us.
Huh?
He quickened us.
That's true.
With that, and then we became a different creature. We had a new heart.
Okay. How about applications? You guys, I'm going to wait 1 second. I saw a hand over here.
Yeah, because we wouldn't have wanted Him unless He called us first.
Yes. You would not have His love if He didn't call you first into His love. And isn't that what his calling is? Isn't he calling us into his love? He sheds it abroad in our heart. He quickens us. He quickens us. And in quickening us, what is that? Is that not the first spark of his love in us? Because isn't it then that we look at ourselves in relation to him and we see our sin and we want to go into the act of repentance? We want to repent. Is that not true? Right?
Yeah.
So we see the love is making us alive, calling us, as somebody said, and it makes us alive. And in that life that we have, we see him as he is, and our love becomes, his love becomes our love, because now we're sorry for what he did, whereas before we didn't care what we did. Now we know. That's the love of God shed abroad. That's the meaning of his love was given to us first, and only after he gives you that love can you do what?
Love others.
But how about live in it? Aren't we called to live in his love? Right? What does he say in John 14:15? I want to show you the connection. What does it say? If you love me, keep my commandments. So he loves you, then he wants you to take that love and he wants you to live in it. He wants you to live in his love. And what's another thing we do when we live in God's love?
We display the fruits of the Spirit.
We leave a fingerprint of love by display. We live in the Spirit. And in the fruit of the Spirit, and in doing that, we leave a fingerprint of love on every soul we speak to and everything that we do, because we're, and what is love, by the way? What is that love?
Unconditional.
Okay, yeah, but what is it other than that?
It's really a love for God.
Yep, that's true, but what is it exactly?
Sacrificial.
It's all true, that's all true, but it's something higher than all of that. It's higher than that. It's more of, it has an application, put it that way. It has an application. That's all true what you said. But it has an application. Attitude. Love is an attitude, is it not? Did Linda say that? All right. Good for her. She gets the gold star, right? Okay. So attitude is what love is it not? And so we can see that even before we were saved, that it was an attitude in carnal love as well, is it not? You know, sometimes you love your kids to death, and other times you want to put them in a closet. Not so much, right? And with God, it's exactly the same thing. And here's something you should think about. If love is an attitude, how much of that attitude am I carrying with me throughout the day? How much of that attitude am I living in every day? You know, I'm all about measuring for some reason. I just feel led to talk about being led. I mean, by being by measuring things, words, measuring things. And so we're never, and understand this, Wink makes this abundantly clear, and he's right. We're never going to get here. That's where he is. Never going to do it. That righteousness we looked at in 2 Corinthians 5:21 is a position, and even then, when we're in that position, we're nowhere near that, because he's God. Mm-hmm. But we will be as righteous and as perfect as we can possibly be as human beings, as a creation. And while we're here, all we're doing is we're really finding out just how much we do love him, and we do that by bearing fruit. And he says, every one of his children, it says, I ordain that you bear, and you're ordained to bear much fruit, Jesus said. So all of that being said, every believer will bear fruit because God ordains that they'll bear fruit. And that is actually a spiritual demonstration of how much you love God, how much of him you put in your day, how much you put him in the equations of your life. That's isn't that not all attitude? When something happens, don't you have an attitude of either carnal, or you'll have a spiritual attitude, right? Something goes wrong, you can say, oh man, why me, da 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 da, or you can say, well, Lord, I don't know why you did that, but okay, help me with it, give me wisdom, give me strength to get over it. And all of those things are attitude. It really, you know, you got to really think about, if you start looking at things being an attitude, you might be able to relate better to that than to any other type of application, because you're well aware of your attitude all the time. You're never without an attitude. except when you're sleeping. You're never without an attitude. You're always in a state of attitude. And the ideal thing. I guess, yeah.
What time you passed this on? It was an attitude.
Yeah. Yeah, I remember. Any questions about that? Okay. Let's go to agape love is also the love God's elect should have for each other. John 13:34. Gospel of John 13:34. James. Okay.
All people will know that you are my disciples if you have love for one another.
Everybody understand that? Yeah. What does it mean? What does it mean when he says, I'm just trying to find it here. I can't see. 13:34 said, right? Giving you love one another. Yeah, when he says, I'm giving you a new commandment that you love one another just as I have loved you. What does that mean to you? Yeah.
Unconditionally,
right? And what does that mean?
Like you forgive people easier than you would normally.
You forgive people?
Easily.
Yep.
Instead of holding a grudge or...
Mm-hmm. So in other words, you forgive them and then you're unbiased by it.
Mm-hmm.
And that's the way it should be.
Yeah.
In other words, if somebody offends you, then the offense is there. You the offense gets rectified, and then once that's done, it's gone. You don't bring it up again. It's gone. Why?
Yeah.
Because if you bring it up again, then you really haven't forgiven.
Yeah.
Break it down and give up.
What'd you say?
Break it down and get over yourself.
Yeah.
And get over yourself. That's true. And then it says, I have loved you that you also love one another. He wants us to love each other the way he loves us. And so what does that mean exactly in application? How do we love one another as he loved us?
You put everyone ahead of yourself.
You put others ahead of yourself. That's one way. What else?
Forgive.
Forgiving. That's true. And letting go, right? What else?
Sacrifice.
What?
Sacrifice.
Yeah, but what?
Whatever it is, it's like
anything you do. There was a quote I was going to put in a bulletin. I chose something else, but there was somebody who said, anytime you give somebody something that cost you something, with no intent of ever being repaid, you have shown true love.
Yeah.
In other words, you can open up a door for somebody. That isn't love in the sense that. You know somebody that needs a ride somewhere, and you got things to do, and you put your things aside, and you give that person a ride. That is the kind of love he's talking about. And how is that? How do we look at that in comparison to Jesus and what, his love for us?
Isn't that so that we could show the love of Christ on us, so others will follow that?
Yep. But there's another way too. It's in Philippians.
We didn't deserve it.
That's true.
Just like
mm-hmm.
Good deed, do for a stranger.
Yep.
Or whatever. You just do it, whether you get a thank you or not.
Right. Go to Philippians. Well, let's read what it says. This is a great application for us. Philippians 2, and starting at verse 5. And go ahead and read that, Mary. Starting at verse 5. And going down to verse 5:8. Yeah, this is what it. Philippians 2, starting in verse 5-8. Go ahead, Mary.
Have this mind among yourselves, which is yours in Christ Jesus. Who, though he was in the form of God, did not count equality with God a thing to be grasped, but emptied himself by taking the form of a servant, being born in the likeness of men, and being found in human form, he humbled himself by becoming obedient to the point of death, even death on the cross.
Yeah.
Therefore, God has highly exalted him and bestowed on him the name that is above every name, so that at the name of Jesus, every name should bow in heaven and earth and under the earth, and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father.
Amen. And I want you to go back up to 5. It says, having this attitude in yourself, which also was in Jesus Christ. What does that mean, the attitude that he,
The Bible says that attitude?
Yeah.
It does.
Yeah.
Really?
What do you...
Mine says mine.
Same, okay, same thing. Yeah. That's my point. ESV, right?
Yeah.
ESV, right? Yeah. Is mine.
Mine.
What's the difference between a mind and an attitude, spiritually speaking? None. None. Zero. You have a mind for God. You have an attitude for God. They're used interchangeably. You can change them around, right?
And, Greg, oh, I'm sorry.
No, go ahead.
I'm just saying that. And then verse 14 is another way for us to show that love of Christ. It says, do not grumble.
Yeah, read it.
Complain. It says, do all things without grumbling or disputing, that you may be blameless and innocent children of God, without blemish in the midst of a crooked and twisted generation, among whom you shine as lights in the world.
Okay. Exactly.
It's an attitude. It's we're worthless if we don't make a difference.
It's not that you're worthless, it's just that if you're saved, you want to make a difference. That's the difference. You see, you understand something. I use this analogy, and I think it's a good one. What happens is if I go out to my truck, and I know when I bought it, I knew how to start it, but I didn't know all the gadgets that went with it. I had to take the time out of my day to take the manual out, read it, and then play with it till I got it, right? The same thing applies with God's word. That's what you have to do. You have to read it, understand what it says, and then you have to take it out and use it in the world. And the other thing you need to think about is when he says, having this attitude in yourself, which was also in Christ Jesus in verse 5, who as he has already existed in the form of God, did not consider equality with God something to be grasped. Okay, let me just tell you. So imagine this. So we're talking about doing something that cost you something. He was in heaven. Everything was, before he came, he was in heaven. There was something called a Christophany. Who knows what a Christophany is? Doreen. Incarnation.
Yes.
It's a pre-incarnation of Christ. In other words, he revealed himself in human form before he was born. And they call it a Christophany. And so he's in heaven, and when man was here, he appeared to Abraham, right? Before he went to, before Sodom and Gomorrah. Who else did he appear to? He appeared to Moses.
Joshua.
Huh?
Joshua.
He appeared to people, okay? He wasn't even born yet in that Christophany.
Adam and Eve, right?
Adam and Eve, yeah. So in doing that, we see that. So he was perfect in every sense, and he was in heaven. So just imagine, it says in Philippians that he took on the form of a bondservant, and being born in the likeness of men and being found in appearance. How about that? That cost him something, didn't it? And
that
see
was
that
a step down.
That was more than a step down. Yeah. It was unbelievable that he would even do that. So the point is, if he's our exemplar and Paul's giving it to us that we're to have the same attitude as he does, that's the proof first for the fact that if you do something for somebody and it costs you something, you're doing exactly what Christ did. And that is really fruit, you bearing fruit, and it's also you showing your love of Christ by emulating what he did. Everybody understand that? You put those verses together like that, and you get a better vision of what it is. And then he's over here in we did John 13:34, right? Okay, let's go to John 15:12. John 15:12. question. Go ahead, June.
Chapter 15 of John, beginning with verse 12. This is my commandment, that you love one another just as I have loved you.
Okay. And you see in the next verse it says, greater love has no one than this, that a person will lay down his life for his friends. What was he doing when he said that? What was he was prophesizing?
His own death,
yeah. Right? His own death. And when he died, spiritually speaking, what is the relevance to that to us as his disciples?
Everlasting life.
Huh?
Everlasting life.
Yeah, it means that the Bible says we are baptized in his death, and then we shall be a part of his resurrection because we are in Christ.
Yeah.
You see the connection of all of that? How it all goes together? It's pretty simple. And then it says in number 4, give some testimonies of how, as a believer, you have shown agape love to someone. Discuss it. Who wants to give a testimony of how they love somebody sacrificially by giving them something that they wouldn't be repaid for? I'm going to ask a question. Okay, go ahead.
Take care of a sick husband, a wife, or a friend that can never repay you what you're giving because you love that person.
Okay, but that's true, yes. Mm-hmm. Okay, now I'm going to put a mark of punctuation. Only my wife would know what that is. So I'm going to say, yes, but somebody could say it's a wife or a husband's duty. It's my duty to make sure that if my wife needs anything or she's ill, that I stop what I'm doing and I make her the center of my attention so that I can take care of her, and vice versa. That's really what the marital bond is about. But how many of us go out of our way to do things for other people that are in need? Mm-hmm. How many of us here take the time? I'll give you an example, okay? Yeah.
It has to be a sacrifice. It can't be out of plenty. Like if you got a lot of candles and you just do
there's nothing. I'm not saying there's anything wrong with that. But what I'm saying to you is that what we're talking about here is love that can't that doesn't need to be repaid. Mm-hmm. How about that? Huh?
We're in our honeymoon. My car broke down. My wife got shit. And a couple stopped to help us.
Mm-hmm.
They were late. They wanted to get late. This couple was maybe in their 30s. I still know their name. I'm still running around the truck. But they brought us. They got us to a garage. They got us all set up. And I'm sure it took away what they were doing.
Yes.
But it's an example of what you do for other people when they.
Yeah. Yes.
And we paid that more often than not after that.
Yeah.
So how about Tom and Doreen? Tom was having some issues, some health issues. They have a flat tire. Guy drives by, backs up, comes over, has trouble. He has his family in the car. He just got out of church, as the Lord would have it, because that's actually a deliverance. It was a blessing for that person, and it was a deliverance for Tom in the situation he was in. When there, he took the time out of, instead of just going through the stop sign and going on, he backed up, he changed his tire, he put a new one on, he had difficulties with it, he got it all done, and Tom said, do I owe you anything? He said, nope, just have a great night, and he took off. That's the kind of thing.
Yep.
He spent that time with him and did that for him. What in the Bible, what example do we have of that kind of love in the Bible that Jesus gives us? I think Jesus. The Good Samaritan.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Yeah.
So when you're looking about love, and you're looking about love as we're talking about it now, of it being something that you can't be repaid for, that's the kind of love we're talking about. We're talking about a love that you go out of your way, it cost you something. I went out of my way to do this, or I knew somebody that was in need and I did this. All of those things are are the type of agape love that Jesus did for you and I. He didn't have to go to that cross. He actually wanted to go to that cross. And in doing that, we're the result, we're the fruit of that sacrifice that he made. And he wants us to pass that on. You know what? A key thought you ought to keep in the top of your mind is you should understand this, that whatever you have in Christ, and I don't know how often you play that tape back and say, I have this, I'm blessed with that, I have that, I have spiritual discernment, I have wisdom, he answers my prayers, he delivers me. The more things you think of like that, all those things that you think of, you should always remember, every day I want to put something in somebody else's life that shows my love of God. You ought to try that. Every day, pick one thing and say, I want to put some love in somebody's life today. And do it. Yeah.
I don't know if it's the right thing to say to a lesser degree, but I see it here within a church. I mean, the church is a group of believers, but we're there to build each other up with Paul to, you know, build. And I see that here. We see the sacrifices that people make to help in the kitchen. I mean, you know, for our benefits.
Mm-hmm.
Our sister Pam, all the time she spends
Bible studies. I was going to use that.
And helping bring them up. So there's sacrifices within the church that are really good examples. And I feel that is for the benefit of the brethren.
Absolutely. And we could say, again, as I told Doreen, we could say that's a duty, but it's above a duty. You know why? Because there's no thing that says we have to do that. They, Wink and Pam do what they do because they love God and they want to serve God, and that's really what we're doing. And that is love. When you want to serve somebody, isn't that what a doulos did? Adulas was a bond servant that was free, but he chose not to be free. He chose to stay be a lifelong servant because he loved his master. And that's really what that is. And we should all have that kind of love. We really should. Go ahead.
Your wife just so happened on my doctor's appointment. My car broke down, and she gave me a ride and sat. I told her, go back home, I'll call you. No. She sat in the doctor's office.
Yeah. How's it get better than that? Right?
Sounds like a good day.
Yeah, it is a good day, right? So the point is that's the type of love that we want to show the world. We want to show that. And what was the benefit to the Good Samaritan, do you think? Or better yet, what is the benefit to us when we do those things for other people? When we do something that costs us something, is there any blessing to us or not? Do you think there is or not?
Yes.
Certainly.
Yeah, of course. What is it?
Fills your fruit basket.
Fills your fruit basket? What else?
Fills your heart with love.
You what?
Fills your heart with love.
Fills your heart with love? I can't think of anything that I enjoy more in life than helping brothers and sisters in Christ. No. Brothers and sisters in Christ, comma, other people.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? I find that over the last 10 years of my Christian walk, I have more joy in helping others than anything else. That's my main joy, is that I know that if we know that we're making a difference in somebody's life, isn't that a blessing? Don't you just feel that you glorified God? And doesn't that make your heart just rejoice? Because, you know, and we have all kinds of opportunities every day. We just simply have to have the attitude for it. And if we do, then you can put that fingerprint of love every day on somebody or something. You should think about your attitude for God every day and where it is and how often you have it. And then adjust it. If you need more, put more on. You never use less, but you can always use more. Amen? All right.